Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasatim vyasam. Tato jaya mudiraye. Mukesh, would you please give me the first canto? We'll take it right off the altar. Thank you very much. This is the last purport in chapter 3. And the name of chapter 3 is? Correct. How about chapter 2? Chapter 1.
Questions by sages.
Very good. And you also got the first chapter of Gita too, right? Nice. Way to go. Okay. Tatra kirtayato vipra viprasher bhuritejasaha aham chadhyagamam tatra nivishtastad anugrahat sohamva shravayishyami yataritam yatamati. Tatra. There. Kirtayataha.
Well reciting.
Vipra.
Vipra.
O Brahmanas. Vipra Rishihe. From the great Brahman Rishi. Bhuri.
Greatly.
Tejasaha. Powerful. Aham.
I.
Cha.
Also.
Adhyagamam.
Could understand.
Tatra. In that meeting.
Nivishtaha.
Being perfectly attentive. Tat
anugrahat.
By his mercy.
Saha.
That very thing.
Aham.
I. Vaha.
Unto you.
Shavayishyami.
Shall let you hear.
Yata. Yata adit. Yata aditam.
Yata aditam.
Yata amati.
Yata amati.
As far as my realization.
As far as my realization.
Ventilation. O learned Brahmins, when Shukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Brikshit, I heard him with rapt attention. And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. I'll say, please repeat. O learned Brahmanas,
O learned Brahmanas,
when Shukadeva Goswami,
recited Bhagavatam,
there in the presence of Emperor Prikshit,
I heard him with rapt attention.
And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam
from
that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam if one has heard it from a self-realized great soul like Shukadeva Goswami. One cannot, however, learn Bhagavatam from a bogus hired reciter whose aim of life is to earn some money out of such recitation and employ the earning in sex indulgence. no one can learn Srimad Bhagavatam who is associated with persons engaged in sex life. That is the secret of learning Bhagavatam. Nor can one learn Bhagavatam from one who interprets the text by his mundane scholarship. One has to learn Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadeva Goswami and no one else, if one at all wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages. That is the process, and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami because he wants to present the message which he received from the great learned Brahman. Shukadeva Goswami presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father, and so also Suta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Shukadeva Goswami. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshitarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakchad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambhore Padambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhome Stvam Nirdesha Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadambo Jau Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnankara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Prishtalibhi Sevya Manu Smarani Srimandra Sarasaram Vivam Shivata Tatastita Karshan Venu Swanir Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vrindayai Tulsidevyai Priyayai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srijanyaham Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yukvaivam Atmanam Parayanaha Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Ahantam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masuchaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gaur Premanande Haribo. So today's the auspicious installation ceremony of the Srimad Bhagavatam here in this wonderful home. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said that there's no difference at all between the Goloka Vrindavan planet and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Jyotish, we try to find out what the ups and downs in our lives will be so we can brace ourselves one way or the other. Prabhupada once said that the Pradyumna asked him about astrology, if it was in our Vaishnava Siddhanta. He said, no, but if you know it's going to rain, you take an umbrella. Mm-hmm. And if anyone looked, any chart you look at, you see ups and downs everywhere. And the planets affect one another. We have their heavenly bodies, their grahas, they have influence over us. They color the way we see the world, the modes of material nature, work on us inexplicably. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they work on everyone. Everyone from the demigods down to the smallest creatures. And in Srimad Bhagavat and Brahma Sanhita, Yastvindra Gopamatavendra Mahosakarma Bandhanu Rupa Palabhajana Matunoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindamari Purusham Dhamham Bhajami. Lord Brahma says, from the Indra Gopa, the tiniest little insect, up to Lord Indra, the king of the devas, everyone's moving because of the result of their previous karma. Except for one who's engaged in bhakti bhajan. Then karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajan. Because of that engagement in bhakti, then the karma is eradicated. Once karma is being taken away. And similarly, all the planets, they're involved in this grand scheme of keeping us moving by the force of karma. And each one has its particular influence over another. But the Goloka Vrindavan planet makes all of the other configurations of planets combust. It means that it overrides everything. So by moving the Srimad Bhagavatam into one's home, then the influence of Krishna, the Krishna planet, has the effect on one's life. And just having the Bhagavatam in one's home, it is said in Shastra that demigods can view from above the homes in which people are carefully keeping Vaishnava literatures, and they worship those homes. I imagine that people fly overhead, the government flies overhead with these infrared cameras, and they look down at the houses that have too much heat coming out of them. They know they're growing pot there, so they come down and they arrest them, you know, and they check their water bill. And so similarly, there's a detection system, apparently, to see who's keeping these Vaishnava literatures in their home, and those homes become worshipable. Actually, there's some heat that's coming out. The effulgence of Krishna. Yasya prabha prabhabhato jagadanda koti koti shvashesha vasudhari vibhuti vinam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamari purusham tamaham vachami. Krishna is the source of all light. And so, miraculously, he's appeared in the Kali Yuga age in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the sages gathered at Naimisaranya, they wanted to know how will religious principles be protected after Lord Krishna departs for his own abode. Now that he's gone, how will it all go on? And the answer comes, Krishna swa dhamo pagate dharma ganadi bi saha kalo nashta dushamesha purar narko dhanodita. Just after Lord Krishna has departed to his own abode, the Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared to maintain the religious principles, to give light to everybody in the dark age of Kali Yuga. So those who are intelligent, they take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as a regular daily function, anyone who hears the Bhagavatam associates directly with Krishna. Itam bhuta guno hari. And the Atmarama verse confirms that even those who are liberated souls, they're attracted to the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam because it's the same quality as Krishna. And Krishna is transcendental. He's above the modes of material nature, and he's attractive to everyone. And therefore we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Shukadev Goswami, who stayed in the womb for 16 years. He didn't want to come out because he was afraid of being affected by the material world. He was completely liberated, so he had no interest in interacting with the world. Even his father tried to convince him he could come out. Lord Krishna had to come and speak to him while he was in the womb and say, you can come out. So finally, Shukadeva Goswami came out of the womb and he took off running because he didn't want anything to do with his family because he was so detached from the world. And his father, Pravajantam Anupetam Apetakritam Dvaipayano Viraha Kartara Ajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravobini Dustam Sarva Bhuta Hridayamunim Anatosmi, ran after Shukadeva Goswami calling out, please come back. And only the trees echoed in response to the bereaved father, Shukadeva Goswami. For they were feeling the same separation from him, such a great soul. He didn't want to even undergo the Upanayanam, the sacred thread ceremony. He just left, leaving his father behind. It's mentioned that while he was going away into the forest, he passed by a kund, where there are many women bathing. And as he walked by, the women didn't take trouble to cover themselves because they recognized that he was completely indifferent. He had no connection to the world and no interest. He didn't see any duality at all. But when Vyasadeva passed by, they all covered themselves. This was the exalted position of Shukadeva Goswami, who went away to the forest. And there's not a lot of information directly in the Bhagavatam, but in some of the other Puranas it's explained how Shukadeva Goswami attracted, how Vyasadeva attracted Shukadeva Goswami back to learn the Bhagavatam by sending out some workers into the forest to recite verses from the Bhagavatam. Aho bhakiyam stanakala kutam, one verse by Uddhava, saying, who would take shelter of anyone more other than Krishna, who's so merciful that he delivered Putana, who tried to kill him. He just accepted that, well, at least she acted like my mother. And he said, who would take shelter of anybody else but Krishna in this world? And other verses they recited, and when Shukadeva Goswami heard those verses, even though he was detached from the world, he came back to learn the full course of Srimad Bhagavatam is from his father, Srila Vyasadeva. And hence the Atmarama verse mentions that even those who are completely liberated from the world, have no interest in it whatsoever, become attracted to the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Shukadeva Goswami did. And in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that those who regularly hear the pastimes from the Srimad Bhagavatam are directly associated with Krishna, and not only that, Krishna becomes attracted and wants to stay in the heart of the listener. In fact, it's mentioned in the second chapter that he becomes arrested in the heart of the listener, because these are topics that are so confidential and they're so dear to Krishna that he stays there to listen. He becomes enraptured himself by hearing this sound vibration, because ultimately Srimad Bhagavatam is about his own pastimes in the spiritual world. So the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that gradually, step by step, one becomes free from the influence of the three modes of material nature and becomes attracted to Krishna and develops love for Krishna. Shrinvatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyan takstohi badrani vidhunoti suhritsatam. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which turn themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And the Bhagavatam explains, Suta Goswami rather explains in the Bhagavatam to the sages at Naimisaranya, that the process gradually removes the influence of the modes of material nature. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayasthaye cheta iter anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. At that time, when one becomes attracted to the message of Bhagavatam, then the modes of passion and ignorance, they subside. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayasthaye. The pushings of lust and anger and greed and these kinds of influences, they lessen. Kama loba dayaschaye cheta iter anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. And one becomes solidly situated and in the mode of goodness. And evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavad tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. One becomes realized, factually realized, understands the science through realization just by hearing. And this is what this purport is saying, that by giving rapt attention to the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then the process of purification takes place within the heart. One makes advancement in devotional service. The word rapt is very interesting. Can you look it up, please? Actually, it comes from the word rapture. You mentioned the word rapture, didn't you, this morning? What word did you talk about when meditating on interlocked? Samadhi. Samadhi. Di means to meditate, and sama means completely. So when one's mind is completely fixed in the hearing process.
Yeah, deeply engrossed or absorbed.
Deeply engrossed or absorbed?
Yeah. Transported with emotion.
Transported with emotion. And?
It's a state of being carried away by overwhelming emotion.
State of being carried away by overwhelming emotion.
State of elated bliss.
State of elated bliss. Rapture. Rapt attention. Is that rapt or rapture?
Rapture.
Oh, how about rapt?
Deeply moved, fully absorbed as in thought.
Okay.
Carried off spiritually to another place, sphere, or existence.
Say that again?
Carried off spiritually to another
place. Carried off spiritually.
to another place, sphere of existence.
To another place or sphere of existence. What rapture can do. It can be carried away. So we're carried away the Bhagavatam. The word Nivishta means that Siddha Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. And so that is the real process of receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. So then how to do that? Mostly no one's interested in hearing the Bhagavatam because I'm distracted by all the interests of the senses. I have to attend to the needs of all my senses in the mind that's addicted to dry things in the material world. And therefore, there needs to be an awakening. I have to awaken this taste for drinking the Bhagavatam through the ears. And Prabhupada mentions here, this takes place by purity of mind and purity of action, purity in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. There has to be an adjustment in lifestyle so that we can lend some time to hearing the Bhagavatam. Because otherwise the senses won't give us any time unless we make a change. Kama dinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pushanti. Versus great Vaishnava is saying that and for how long and how many ways have I obeyed the bad masters of my senses? They've never given me any time off. They've never given me mercy, and I've never questioned them. I simply just followed whatever my mind and senses told me to do. But no more. Now I've gained my spiritual intelligence, and now I'm changing my course in life. I'm going to make time to serve Krishna. In fact, I'm approaching Krishna asking for personal service. This we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're begging Krishna that please let me have some service. Let me engage in your service, not in all these other services that actually only serve the senses. And this requires some practice, because the senses are so strong and the mind so strong, and I'm so entangled in the material world. But by this process of adjusting one's life around the process of hearing, that is, we have to regulate the senses. This is how to actually control the senses. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that they're very difficult to control, but if you regulate the senses, then gradually you can bring them under control. So we have to regulate the senses, as is mentioned here, and we regulate them around the principle of hearing. So I make a vow to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And that means that I have to adjust the rest of my life so that I can be there. If I just show up to hear the Bhagavatam, to be in the vicinity where the Bhagavatam is being recited, then it will act. It will have its effect because it's non-different from Krishna. But I have to be there, otherwise the senses will drag me here, there, and everywhere and say that you don't have time for the Bhagavatam. There's 24 hours in a day, everyone has the same 24 hours. So it's a matter of labdha buddhi. I have to gain my spiritual intelligence and make the conscious choice of where I'm going to place my attention, how I'm going to apportion my time during the day. So this is the system we see that Prabhupada instituted this process in ISKCON, that every day there would be a Srimad Bhagavatam class and everyone would hear. You hear the verse and then there would be a discussion on the verse. And just by that process, this is called Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, which means to constantly hear the Bhagavatam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in the age of Kali Yuga, very difficult for everyone to sit and constantly hear the Bhagavatam. But if you do it every day, this is called Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, regularly serving the Bhagavatam by hearing from it. Then Krishna enters within the heart through the ears, and the purification process takes place. Satam prasangam amavirya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata tajjoshanar ashu apavargavartmani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishuti, which means that when you hear the Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, then that beautiful sound vibration will act like medicine and it will enter into the ear, it will purify the heart, and will change your direction in life. Instead of being entangled in the material world, you'll become disentangled and you'll go back home, back to Godhead. And step by step, you'll attain Shraddha, Rati, and Bhakti. That means there's a progression when the faith in Krishna and your association with Him thickens. And this all happens by the association of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we're performing an installation ceremony to welcome the incarnation of Krishna in the Kali Yuga into your home, and to glorify the Bhagavatam by welcoming him to this space on the altar. And then you just have to carry on the vibration. Keep the vibration going. That's a good mantra to always remember. Keep the vibration going. And another one is purify the vibration. There's lots of a debate about what's the best way to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, what's the best way to make advancement. But if you take these two principles, that is, keep the vibration going and purify the vibration, that always works. And it doesn't matter if you live in Alaska or in the middle of Indonesia or you're all by yourself in a college dorm somewhere in some forlorn place. If you keep the vibration going and you purify the vibration, then Krishna will be attracted and all other good things will happen. Look what Prabhupada did. He came to America and sat in a park and he kept the vibration going. He chanted under a tree. He had Bhagavad Gita classes. And then everything happened. People came, living entities came forward, and the same thing will happen in our life. Purify the vibration means make sure that whatever vibration you're making is Krishna Katha, because all other kinds of vibrations agitate the mind and they impel us to go back into the world of the senses. That sound vibration, it actually contaminates us. So keep the vibration going and purify the vibration. So this is the purest of vibrations. It's not only in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's the commentary by the pure devotee. And it's in the line of all the great acharyas, whose only motive in life is to see that others get an opportunity to develop love for Krishna. So you have the perfect combination. This book is worshipable. And you can bow down to this book. You can offer your bhoga to the book. Prabhupada authorized that when devotees first started doing traveling sankirtan. They had only experience of, you know, having prasadam in the temple and such. And there was a raging debate about that. It's like, how can you leave the temple? Some people were even questioning the traveling sankirtan because it was going far away from the temple. And then Prabhupada confirmed, he said, these books are your deities. In fact, you can offer your bhoga right to the books because they're Krishna, non-different from Krishna. Amazing how Krishna incarnates in the form of a book, how the transcendence comes in the form of paper and ink, apparently. But just like the deity is in wood or metal or paint or jewel, so many material elements Krishna will appear in, he also appears in this form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Previously, all these things were written down on palm leaves, and it took a lot of trouble for a scribe to write them down. They'd use a stylus to mark the palm leaf, and then they'd have to put it in the sun, and then that part would turn gray, and this or turn black where they touch with the stylus, and the palm leaf would turn gray. And then those palm leaves last sometimes 500, 1,000 years. And imagine what it takes to copy one Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. No Kinkos, or no digital printing. So we shouldn't take it for granted just because it's printed and we have many, many volumes that this is an ordinary book or it's just like any other book. In fact, when we kick these books on our shelf, they shouldn't mix with other books. Like if you have a shelf and, you know, you have Srimad Bhagavatam the deity's there, so you shouldn't put Gone with the Wind there also, or some other mundane novel. We should have this mentality that these books are our deities. And if we take shelter of the vibration here, we'll associate with the pure devotee, we'll associate with Krishna directly, and the effect will be there. That's the fact. This Bhagavatam is saying you'll feel it for yourself. It's not like you're going to have to wonder about it. If you actually stick to this hearing process, purifying the vibration and always keeping the vibration going, you'll experience when you walk out your door that you see the world differently, that you feel a detachment. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janya Yashuvairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. By worshipping Krishna, and this is the best way to worship Krishna, by hearing Bhagavatam, then the concomitant result is that you'll get knowledge and detachment from the world. And Sudha Goswami confirms that this is important for moving forward on the path of devotional service, so we're not distracted. Tach chadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitaya. This person who's really interested in advancing in devotional service, called tach chadadhana, and that is that they always show up to hear. And when the hearing is going on, they hear with rapt attention. That's the sign of a shraddhana, someone who's full of faith, that they're always interested in hearing. And they hear with rapt attention. That's what's being mentioned here. Tach shraddhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. And they become fortified with knowledge and detachment, so that they can, that means that they're not slaves to the senses. Can you come here, Bhagavatam? Can't do it. Why not? My mind told me I can't do it. I have to go somewhere else. My senses are pulling me in another direction. Can't be there. But those who are becoming free, they're making time. They're becoming free to hear more and more. And even we hear Parikshit Maharaj, he commented, it's in the beginning of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, that normally somebody becomes overwhelmed when they don't eat or drink for some days. He says, but I'm not disturbed by it because I'm drinking the nectar that's dropping from your lotus mouth, he said to Shukadeva Goswami. I'm hearing this nectar. This is mentioned here in this purport. You have to drink it like a beverage. And the smoothies coming through your ear, nourishing you. And that's real spiritual life. When my ears become attentive to hearing the Bhagavatam. And not that, there's a group, and then how you clear a room. Someone was telling me, they used to live in Vrindavan. And people were always coming to this devotee's door, asking him questions, bothering him. He was trying to write a book. So he said, I figured out how to get rid of everybody. I just pull out a Bhagavatam and say, let's read Bhagavatam. They say, actually, I gotta go. We can test ourselves and see, do I want to lean in and hear? Do I have time to hear the Bhagavatam? And so at first we have to regulate the senses so that we hear, and then gradually we'll catch something, we'll catch that bug that's there in the Bhagavatam, that attraction for Krishna. And then our material life subsides and we actually become free souls, just by this process of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we want to see that there's a Bhagavatam in everyone's house. They built all these new houses. I saw it's all the deer. I don't know where they've gone to eat. But all these houses are here for a reason. And we should see that every single one of them gets a Bhagavatam set. What about that? That's a good goal. Huh? May all the houses here in there's all these names on have a Bhagavatam set. Just think what a house is like without a Bhagavatam set, and just a TV set. And what torture it is for the soul. The soul's being tortured inside that house. No Bhagavatam. In fact, once I was in Vrindavan, and there was. Somebody invited me to come to somebody's house for a luncheon or something like that. I was in a bad mood anyway already. And I was not feeling up to it. So we were going there, and I was asking more questions. Whose house are we going to? What, you know, what's going to happen when we get there? Well, they're not really this, and they're not really that, and this. We got to the house, and I looked around. I said, "Where's Prabhupada's books?" And they said, "They're not into Prabhupada's books. They have some other books. They don't have the Bhagavatam there." And I said, "I got a stomachache. I got to go." I know it's not very nice, but that's just how I felt. I'm just saying that's how I felt. I'm not, but we should feel like that. We should feel uneasy that there's not Bhagavatam sets in all these houses, and we should feel uneasy when there's not a Bhagavatam within our reach. You know, if we're going on a trip or something like that, we don't jump in the car and it's like, "Where's the book?" "Oh, I don't have a book. I'm getting back out of the car." You know, you want to be close to the Bhagavatam. You got to keep the vibration going, because the material world's an unsteady place, and it's dangerous. It's really dangerous to let the mind just go off on its own. Don't let it go. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that when sometimes a hunter, he'll go out and he'll catch a wild animal, and he'll bring him back and put him in a cage. And after, 6 months or a year, he'll think, he's tame, you know, he's okay. And then he gets lax, and he leaves the latch open on the cage. And at night, the animal comes out. He tears the place apart, and he kills the guy. And it's all over. So the Bhagavatam says, be careful, keep the latch on the cage. The mind is like a wild animal. And the only way it can be tamed, really, and really come under control, is when that wild animal has become addicted to hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's when we know we're coming to the safe side of spiritual life, that I want to hear the Bhagavatam, that I can't go a day without hearing it. Even if it's not because of taste, it's because of a feeling of duty that I know. I have faith. I'm touched Shraddhana. I'm faithful that by hearing the Bhagavatam every day, I'll come to the perfect stage. So even though I don't have a taste for it, I do it anyway, because I know that the medicine's going in, and that's what sick people do. When they're sick, they take the medicine. And the doctor says it, so I do it. I don't know what's going on with the medicine. I don't know what's in it at all, practically. I never studied pharmacology, so I have no idea. But I trust the doctor. So we have to trust the doctor. Through the civil succession, we understand that this is the medicine. We put it prominently in our house. We put it prominently in our lives, and we focus our energies in our eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We organize those in such a way that we can always hear Nama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smityo Kramena Rasanam Anasiniyoja Tishtan Raje Tananaragi Jananugami Kalam Nayeda Kilamityupadesha Saram. And this, says Rupa Goswami, of whom we're following in the footsteps because we are Rupanugas, he says, you must make this the essential principle of your life to keep the vibration going always. Tanama Rupa Charitari. Hear about the form, the names, the pastimes of Krishna, and it will become attractive. And gradually, by that process, all the troubles in our life will be vanquished. All the troubles that are coming from the mind and the senses, which are harassing us since a time immemorial, we've been moving from one body to the next, being oppressed by the mind, which has fearsome godlike powers. Don't think Maya is a trifling goddess. She will eviscerate you, take you out your entrails, and put them around your walking stick for an ornament. If you think that you can play with Maya and let your mind go and play somewhere and not be attentive to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to take full shelter of Krishna. And this process of hearing is the sure way to do it. If we're lending our hearing power to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll become fortified and powerful. Once somebody complained to Prabhupada, "But Prabhupada, Maya is so strong." And Prabhupada said, "Maya is not so strong, you're so weak." And that's, he said, if you keep yourself healthy by taking Chaiwana Prash every day, and having a good diet, a good outlook on life, you exercise, you're healthy, you won't fall sick. And if you do, it won't be a major inconvenience, and you'll be able to jump back again. So similarly, if you keep yourself healthy by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll be fortified. And whatever influences are there, and they are considerable, will not have the same effect on you. You won't be affected by the outside world. And the ultimate goal is there, that we'll develop by the association of pure devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it assures us over and over again, all the great sages say, just by this process you'll attain the goal of life, which is Krishna prema. It's liquid prema, actually, in these words, in the book. And if we get accustomed to drinking that with our ears, we will attain real happiness in life, and real perfection. So this is a momentous occasion that we are putting the Bhagavatam in this house today, installing it here for this purpose of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, and now we only have about 3,000 more houses to go. And we should go door to door and canvas and say, hello, hi, we've just installed the Bhagavatam down the street here, and we'd like to do the same for you. And, you know, go offer it to all the people, wherever we go, and you know, make that. That's a lifelong pursuit. You want a job? We got a job. Put a Bhagavatam in every one of these houses. You know, all other jobs are insignificant practically. You know, we're putting all kinds of other stuff in every other place. Why not? Let's have a job. Let's have a corporation that's all dedicated to putting the Bhagavatam in everyone's house. Then you got a real job. What kind of job do you do? I put Bhagavatam in people's houses. That's my job. You can write that on your disembarkation card when you go overseas, and they say occupation. They say Bhagavatam placer, Bhagavatam installer. And the guy at the border will say, what is a Bhagavatam installer? And say, what's your address? I'll be there. We should be like that. We should feel like that. In fact, that's what says the sages. They go door to door, and that's what they're doing out there. They're walking around, they're knocking on doors, and it says that Shukadeva Goswami would go to doors long enough to milk a cow, because he didn't want to hang around too long, but he wanted to hang around long enough to give him the Bhagavatam, to give him some nectar. And that's the only thing really going on in the world that's of any consequence. Everything else is business as usual. It's just the modes churning over and over again. And the only way to get free from that is to put a wrench inside those gears. And that's the Bhagavatam that will cure us of that samsara, that we're being pulled by the tide of birth and death over and over again. But this book can free us. This is deathless nectar, deathless nectar. Who knows about it? Nobody knows, and nobody even wants it. If you go on the street and say, deathless nectar, you can be free from death, and you go, what's the big deal? I got to die anyway. Everyone's just accepting it. Everyone's in prison, but they don't even know it. But in prison, at least people, they think about how to escape because they see the bars and everything. But here, they don't even see it. Everyone's so asleep. So we have to make this clarion call to wake up people and wake up ourselves first. Those who are awake and who are experiencing it can give it to others. Gaur Premanande Haribo! Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
So, it seems like choiceless, you know, kind of sense. Is there like you are like the log in the ocean, you know, kind of you don't know where you are going, where to push you. It doesn't feel like you have the will and the choice to reach the shore.
Yeah. Actually, it's a nice analogy you gave. In several places, similar analogy is given. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami that the conditioned soul is like a log floating on an endless river. And finally, when that river comes to wash up on the shore, it's considered fortunate. You know, it gets free from that situation. So we become free from that by the mercy of a devotee. That's how we become free. And also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that even a dog can swim across this ocean of material existence by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. So we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate. We're being given this inside process. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Anarpita charim chirat karuni yavatirna kalo. This is this special advent. This is not ordinary, the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's God coming to give mercy like never before. He thinks, and when God thinks, I haven't really given special mercy for a long time. Anarpita, charim chirat. And therefore I'm going to go and I'm going to give it in such an extraordinary way that it will amaze everybody. And that's his prerogative. He can do that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can save us from that impending death and the impossibility of getting out of the material world. It all becomes possible by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why all the great sages are yelling it from the rooftop and saying, you got to get this. You know, everyone has to have it. Don't miss it. It's so important to have it. If we have that urgency ourselves to hear the Bhagavatam and get out of the material world, we'll have the urgency to give it to others also. Prabhupada said, if your house is burning down and you don't speak the local language, you'll communicate it somehow, right? That you need water and the house is burning. Any other? Yes, Nirkula.
When you were saying putting the Bhagavatam in everyone's homes, I was remembering when I was a child, there was someone who would go door to door selling the encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. And, he would tell one person, oh, so-and-so just has bought the encyclopedia. And I remember going into my friends' homes, and everybody had the encyclopedia in their bookshelves. And it was that door-to-door, salesman who put it there, and hearing that another house had it. Mm-hmm. So, not impossible.
Prabhupada told the library party, the devotees on the library party, how to distribute books to the scholars. Is at first they went and they weren't getting very much success, so they wrote to Prabhupada and said, how should we do this? And he wrote back and said, just get one scholar who's notable and get him to write you a letter. And then go around and show that letter and collect more letters. And then based on what others have bought, they'll all buy. And that's exactly what they did. And they would just go in sometimes and show the letter and they say, he bought? He said, give me all the sets. That's all it takes. Yeah.
Letters bought now, so... We can use her.
That's right. It's right next door. Yeah. Yeah. You can have a little Bhagavatam party. It's like Tupperware.
Yeah.
Tupperware party. The multi-level marketing of the Bhagavatam. We want to use all these things to spread the Bhagavatam. That's how we should occupy our mind. You know, how to spread Krishna consciousness, especially by distributing literature, because it's such a foundational part of any society. Prabhupada knew what he was doing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta knew what he was talking about when they emphasized distribution of transcendental knowledge, especially through literature. It can go through other forms too, because obviously that changes somewhat over time. There are e-books and there are other kinds of recorded information. But we want to get that out into society, because what's written down and recorded in that way, it has an effect on the society. Jivas are fickle. And when they come in contact with something that's written and authoritative, they'll gravitate towards it. As I mentioned previously, you know, in the National Archives here in Washington, D.C., there's this Magna Carta, there's the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights and such. And because a group of people got together and wrote it down, and took the trouble to sign it, there's a country. That's what holds this country together. It's just a concoction. The whole country's just a little concoction that's floating around for a few years, and it'll dissipate like all other empires. It won't last forever. But the reason it's held together is because there's a document. And so when you have what we have, I mean, look at some other religious traditions like Buddhism as an example. There's only a few recorded things Buddha actually said. There's not much. There's a sermon that he gave, and there are like a few tenets that he mentioned. Other than that, there's just extrapolation on basically what he said. But look at Buddhism. It's all over the world. And so what to speak of, we start with the Bhagavatam, the most sophisticated, poetical, theological writing in the world, arguably. And in fact, Garuda was telling me that amongst the professors at Harvard, he was showing English professors and explaining them to the intricacy of the poetry in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nuance, the use of all kinds of poetical devices. And they agreed. They said there's nothing in English literature that can come anywhere close to this. Nothing close. This is the civilization. This is proof of the civilization of that time. When you see the architecture of times previous to ours, when great churches were built with filigree and everything, you can see what was the mindset. Now you get, glass buildings, and it's, Denny's, you know, or 7-Eleven, a corporation, you know, it's all about the bottom line. There's no bhav, there's no aesthetic. When you look at the language of a culture, and you can see what's the greatness of the culture, Bhagavatam. There's nothing that can compare the poetry in the Bhagavatam and the depth of the philosophy in the Bhagavatam. So Buddhism, from this a couple of little aphorisms that were spoken and spread all over the world, what to speak of laying the foundation, which we're doing now by distributing these literatures, getting them out into the mainstream of society, into the libraries, into the homes, into the hearts of people, what effect that will have. You know, we're in the very, very early stages of spreading this Bhagavad Dharma all over the world, and we're fortunate to have this kind of work. And so if Buddhism can spread, you know, from a few things into what it's done now, what to speak of this, what effect this will have. You know, 18,000 verses, and the Bhagavad Gita, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the books that we have. You can imagine how foundational this is, and how important it is to put these out into society. It's not a PR stunt. It's actually establishing a culture, and the culture gets established through the writings of, you know, that hold it together. These are the tenets of our philosophy and of our culture. They're written down. So we have to imbibe them ourselves. We have to be living examples of these things, and we should engage ourselves, as Lord Chaitanya asked, Ramate Bhumite Hoila Manasa Janmayar Janma Sartak Pari Para Upakar. Sorry, I butchered that, but it's the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that everyone, especially from Bharat, especially if you're from India, take up this cause, Para Upakar, do good for others. And there are many good causes in the world, but there's only one great cause. And that great cause is to give people back their spiritual intelligence. And that comes from the Bhagavatam. So take this Bhagavatam as your life and soul. There used to be a book, a sign above the book room in Atlanta, Georgia, back in the heyday of massive book distribution, that said, "Eat book, sleep book." And I know one devotee is Daru Brahma. He's a disciple of Prabhupada. When she was walking through a mall somewhere on Christmas, right before Christmas, someone sold her a Srimad Bhagavatam part one. She had no idea what it was, but it grew on her. And after a while, it consumed her life, and she said she couldn't go to sleep without it at her head. And she'd wake up with it, and she'd see it. It changed her life so much. The Bhagavatam. It's the books. The books. So these books are powerful. They have all the potency of that Krishna has. So we put them in our homes, and we take them out and give it to them as many people as possible. So it's a glorious day here, establishing the Bhagavatam. So we'll have a ceremony, and that means we'll honor the Bhagavatam by offering some lamp. Do we have a dhoop deep and a pushpa, and we'll have a kirtan. And then right after that, we'll just read the preface, because we'll start the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya today. We'll light the lamp. And that reading today, we'll read the preface together, we'll pass the book around and read a few paragraphs, and then you have to keep that vibration going every day. Something you have to read from the Bhagavatam every day, and then your life will become perfect. Om Tat Sat, Gaur Premanande Haribo. Pardon? Sure. Not exactly, but it either one is good, but there is some kind of augmentation when you hear in the association of devotees. It tends to increase because there's discussion and such, and you can hear realizations of others. But you should read every day too.
So every day we don't have the association, so this is okay if I hear Prabhupada's
yes.
lecture.
Not only okay, it's highly recommended.
And read also at the same time. Hear and read.
You should read something. It's good to read Prabhupada's books every day. And you know what? I find this, it solves all your problems. The mind creates problems and says this, that, worry, you know, lament. But if you just read for, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour, just read, then you'll feel better. You'll feel clear and know what to do, and you'll feel calm. So yes, you should read every day. And whenever you get the chance, go into the assembly where there's great hearing and chanting going on. Gravitate towards those places. That's what the sages do. That's why they all ended up at Naimisaranya, because they heard there was a seminar going on for 1,000 years. There's a 1,000-year seminar. They saw the flyer. 1,000-year seminar. Naimisaranya. What's it about? Bhagavatam. Let's go. We're going. 1,000 years. So show up for, be the one who shows up for those kind of events, you know. Go across the world if you have to, but be there. And if you just show up for where the vibration's taking place, you'll change and you'll become an exalted person because of the association of Bhagavatam. That's what it's saying. Itam bhuta guno hari. You want to change your life? Just be around the Bhagavatam. Yes, you can read. Read every day. Yes.
My question is about staying absorbed in the messages of Bhagavatam. I really, really like Bhagavatam, and if I'm able to, I'd like to spend a couple of hours. But sometimes it's not possible between health or service or combination of those reasons. And slowly, I'm not able to stay absorbed in the same way. So I just wanted to hear something, like if I'm able to only give a little time sometimes in these situations, if you could speak something about how we can stay absorbed and connected.
Well, we have during various times of our life, we'll go through periods when we have better health, worse health, this kind of service, that kind of service. And during all those times, we remain constant in hearing, and sometimes we'll have more time to hear and sometimes less time to hear. But just because we have less time to hear doesn't mean we can't be more intense during those times or with rapt attention. And I've seen it. My godbrother, Satyadev Prabhu, who was a paramedic for 20 years, had a very difficult job. He had some work karma to finish in this life, because it was the most hellish job I could imagine. And sometimes he had to stay up, stay awake for 48, 72 hours to do his shift, stay awake all that time. And sometimes he never got to sleep because they keep waking him up with emergency calls from the fire station. But he kept reading, and I noticed that sometimes he would only get a chance to read one shloka because of his thing. But I found in his books, he'd write down these little notes, and he'd keep them, and he'd remember those things because of the time he had shrunk. But it didn't mean his intention, it was there when he was reading it, and it meant more to him because it was like water in the desert. If you're in a water park and someone says, "You want a glass of water?" You go, "Nah, there's plenty around here." But if you're in the desert, you'll get, "I'll pay $1,000,000 for that glass of water." So sometimes when when you're isolated or when you're starved or when you're taken out of circulation, then it becomes even more valuable and it goes deeper inside. The main thing is to keep it going somehow or another. And you can be very creative. There's all kinds of creative ways. Don't listen to the mind when it says, "Oh, that's just 2 minutes. That's not important." It is important. 2 minutes is a big deal. Just think when people take exams and they really, they want to get 100% on the SAT. They don't stop studying until the teacher says, "Put your books away and, pick up your number two pencil." That's when they stop studying. I see the slackers, in school, before the test, they're the ones hanging out around outside the door joking around. And the people who score really high, they got their nose in the book. They don't take anything for granted. So those two-minute little periods, grab them whenever you can. I always carry in my bag, which is somewhere around here. I always carry something because I walk out the door and I go, I don't want to get stranded somewhere, in the line or somewhere like that. People are all standing around going, hurry up, this post office, this government is useless, it's going so slow. And I'm going, take a little longer because I got to finish this. and I get something out of it. I mean, sometimes, in 30 seconds, if you read something, it just sticks. It just, it's there. And this is, it may sound fanatical or something like that, but this is what the Rupa Goswami is saying. Stay absorbed at this kind of level. Why not? The human life is a test, and we will be tested. And, you know, we have this opportunity to use all this equipment. It's expensive, this body. In fact, it's mentioned, labvam sudulabam idam bahusambhavante. It's the most expensive equipment you can rent, which is we're doing. We've been given this rental equipment. And it's like, what does it do? Well, it can read Shastra and enlighten you. That's what it does. That's what this equipment does. If you look at the deer body equipment, it doesn't do much. It just, you know, you can hop around and eat berries. But this one, you can hear Bhagavatam. So use the equipment, you know, and tune it in. And be creative in all the different ways that you can stay close to the Bhagavatam. Nowadays, the only good thing about technology that I can see is that you can always stay in touch with the transcendental sound vibration. So do it in creative ways. And also, if the mind becomes saturated in some way, because it can, sometimes you go, I don't want to hear this anymore, then hear something else in a different way, but keep the vibration going. Just stay in. And then gradually it will appeal to the senses more and more, and we know we're getting purified. And if you ever get a chance to go for retreat or full immersion, or someone invites you, you know, come to this and we'll just sit down and hear for 3 days. You know, tell your boss that you're sick and go. Whatever it takes. You know, that's what Sanatana Goswami did. I'm sick. I can't come in. And after a few weeks, the boss showed up with a doctor and said, you're not sick. And he said, yeah, you're right. But I got to hear Bhagavatam. You know? So we should follow in the footsteps. Those are people who are going back to Godhead. They're putting that investment in that. It's like, this is what we do. And all the other things, they're kind of secondary. We have to maintain, yes, but it's not that important. Everyone else, the deer, are you still eating out there? They're being maintained. We should put the weight of all our existence should go into this. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we take, like, the process of purification is not so attractive, you know, at this time? Like, how do I take it very enthusiastically? Or, like,
the process of purification is, like, you know, not that attractive, happens. So how do you take it enthusiastically? Well, in the beginning, we might have some revelation. Normally, people get some kind of revelation early on, before their senses are regulated even. You know, I met Charles yesterday at the temple, and he was telling me how, you know, he had a revelation. He was trying to read the Bhagavatam, he couldn't break into it, and then one day he pulled it off the shelf and it just opened up to him. And this is kind of like a free sample. And in Chicago, I remember when I worked the streets there, there was a candy company, and they, every once in a while they'd come out with a new candy bar. And so they'd send a girl out there with this big box of candy bars. But they were this big. Normal candy bars this big. It was this big. And there would be a lineup down the street, and she'd hand out these samples. And then the people would have a little sample and say, that's really good. Give me another. And she said, Now go buy it. You know. So Krishna gives a little free sample sometimes. That's normally why people show up. And they go, I got this, you know, revelation. I got a free sample somewhere. And now then you have to buy it. So Narada Muni was like that. He went off when he was a child, and he left home. He had some mercy from the sages, and then he sat down in a forest, and Krishna actually appeared to him, and he was swept away. I mean, he was feeling this unrestricted ananda. And then he came back in his senses, and he became so morose. Do you think it's bad during the winter time when there's no sun? You become depressed because the sun's not there. After his experience of floating in an ocean of bliss and then having to come back into the world of the senses, he was desperate, and he was trying mechanically everything he could to get back that feeling that he had, that experience. And then Krishna spoke to him and said that those who are not perfect, they can't see me, so now you have to do the work. Now you have to work at it. So you have to pay the price. And there's a way in which, you know, we're tested to see, do you really want this? In any discipline, you have to pay the price. So how do you do that? A good association is always important. If you can stay in touch with those who are already going at a good speed, and they have clean habits, and they are dedicated in such a way, then that rubs off on you, because we're products of our association. And keep good association is very important, and try to if you find yourself uninspired, and the mind has got you down on the mat, and then what you have to do is get yourself back up by increments. Don't try to get it back all at once and say, I'm gonna mm-hmm. be a great devotee. Just try to do something. Mm-hmm. Because spiritual life is so powerful that if you just do one thing, like, if you're knocked out of the ring, then you make your comeback a little bit at a time and just say, I'm gonna do one little thing. Because the mind will put you down and say that, you're useless, you can't chant. I hear people say this all the time. It's like, I'm so sinful, I'm so useless, I can't chant. Valmiki said that. And Narada said, all right, tell you what, we'll just chant the name of death. You know, something to get it back in. Mm-hmm. One little thing. It's like if your house is a complete mess and you're sitting there in the mode of ignorance and you think, I'll never be able to clean this house, so why even try? Right? The mind will say that. Why even try? Just leave it like that, because after all, that's just who I am and this reflects my style in life. No, and then there's some voice inside you, no, you have to clean the house. But how? I can't. It's too... What you do is... You get up and you do one thing. You trick the mind. You say, all I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up that one dirty handkerchief. That's all you have to do. Just pick up that one handkerchief and put it in the hamper and you're done. And once you get some momentum, you get up, you put it in the hamper, then next thing is like, all right, I'll get the pencil too. And then next thing you know, you're on a roll. So a spiritual life, when we're down, and when, it's like, I'm nothing, I can't do it, I'm useless, then pick up one little thing. Do one, read one word, one verse, or anything. And you, in that way, you have to somehow stay alive in Krishna consciousness. You don't have to be a great devotee. You don't have to be Shukadev Goswami. You just have to stay in the game, and by the mercy of the acharyas, you'll attain success. Bejare munayotagre, bhagavantamat hoksajam, sapkam vishudam shemaya, kalpante yenutaniha. Bhagavatam Sutta Goswami says, all the great sages, they took shelter of Lord Vishnu, and they attained the highest benefit. And he says that everyone else, if they just follow in the footsteps of those great sages, they're eligible for the same result. And it means that you don't have to be a great sage. If you just follow what the great sages did, then you'll also attain greatness. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Yeah. So let's have an artik for the Bhagavatam.